Well, good Tuesday morning. This is David Bowler again, and I have the wonderful privilege to share with you in Gospel Dynamite at 9 o'clock today. And I hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful morning, and the Lord is blessing you. And we look forward to building our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I enjoy the time together studying the Word of God. I love preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. And I thank you, many of you, praying for Sue and I as we travel across the country, preaching the Word, doing Bible conferences out of the country on mission trips, and doing the work of the Lord, writing newspaper articles, radio broadcasts, tract ministries, book distribution, everything we can do to magnify the Lord, being a witness for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him this morning. I know you do too. And I know that WDYN is special to you, to us. As I often say, it's a part of Sue and I, our spiritual portfolio. People have an investment portfolio. We have an eternal investment portfolio on what we're doing with our time, our talent, our treasure, our money. And part of our investment is in this wonderful station. Appreciate Brother Tommy Sneed and his work and all the team. And so we're glad to be with you today. And pray the Lord will bless us as we study. So we've been studying a series, and we'll wind it up with this last segment about going to heaven. What's heaven going to be like? Well, we started in the starting point when Jesus Christ returns for us, the coming of Jesus. And we studied the rapture of the church on those that are dead in Christ and those of us that remain alive, and we're raptured and changed to be with the Lord. Then we talked about what kind of new bodies are we going to have when we get there. We spent 2 weeks talking about that. That's interesting. I'm looking forward to it. And then we talked about 3 weeks on the judgment seat of Christ, because right after the rapture, we get to heaven, we'll have the judgment seat of Christ, then the marriage of the Lamb, then the great supper of the Lamb, the great celebration that we have as children of God and the bride of Christ being with the Lord. Then we looked at our future home. We looked into heaven. We looked at the New Jerusalem, as the Bible talks about it, that comes down out of heaven. It's going to be the capital city of the new heaven and the new earth. And then we looked into the new heaven and the new earth itself. What's the new earth going to be like? What are we going to do? And so forth. And then I probably should have switched these in time segment, but we're going to talk about living in the millennium. What's it like to be eternal beings living in the millennium with humans that have not been translated yet, that have come through the tribulation, but now are populating the earth while Christ rules for 1,000 years. So living in the millennium. Then we talked about the white throne judgment, the books that are opened at the judgment. And we're going to conclude this time in the Word of God and this 16-week study that we've enjoyed on Tuesday mornings and talk about worship in heaven. Now, some people see worship as optional, but it's not. It's one of the major things. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving our souls. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you for our friends listening today, and I pray you would bless us all together as we sit at your feet and you speak to our hearts from your Word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, some people see worship as optional, but as the Holy Spirit of God allows John to look into heaven, he sees that worship of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And this worship is the central activity in heaven. Now, worship is today in our churches and in our lives. It's kind of a dress rehearsal on earth for heaven. So you ought to get used to it now. And we're going to work our way in chapter 4 down through verse 11. And look at all this segment, and let me just read you a couple of verses to kind of just get us in, see where we're going. Verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. That's the way the rapture is going to be for us. And the first voice which I heard was, it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up thither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like an emerald. And then round about the throne were 24 seats, in the King James's little thrones. And upon these smaller thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were the 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, each of them had 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And the rest, they rested not day nor night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. Remember, in Isaiah 6, the prophet Isaiah saw this. And when those creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him. Boy, you might want to underline that. And worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we see this wonderful chapter on worship, and today in worship we experience it in basically 5 parts. 1, praise of God. 2, prayer to God, as we pray and worship God in thanksgiving and request. Preaching about God. We worship God in the Word of God. Giving to God when we bring our tithes and our love offerings, and we give to the cause and the work of Christ, and then our service to him is part of our praise. But in heaven, basically, we're only going to see one that's primary. Now, we'll still be serving. We won't need to be giving. We don't resources. We won't be doing any preaching in heaven. We won't need to pray, but we will praise the Lord. As I said, no need to pray because we're with God. We're in his presence. All our needs are met. And the winning of souls is complete, so we're not evangelizing. No need of preaching because we now have complete knowledge. We know the Word. We know as we are known, the Scripture says. Therefore, praise of the Lord will be our primary worship in heaven. So let's look at this today. And if you're keeping notes, Roman numeral number 1, you got your little notebook, put out number 1, the context of worship in heaven. And let's go back and look at verse 1 again. Look at your Bible. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up thither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, John sees an open door, and it gives him a look into heaven. There he saw what no one else had ever seen, except maybe the Apostle Paul when he said he saw the third heaven. Now, John at this time is an older man. He's in his late 80s or early 90s. He's in exile on the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, a small island, 13 miles square. While there, the Lord came to him in the midst of his suffering and his exile and his so-called punishment by the Romans. God gives him this wonderful revelation, this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ now resurrected, glorified. Boy, how his heart must have been moved. But let me read it to you. Beginning at verse 9, it's 9 verses. He's talking now. He said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful sermon right there. Companion in tribulation. We're in the kingdom of God as we're born again, and we're in the patience of waiting upon the Lord and serving him. But he says he was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. He said, I'm here because I preach the word of God. I share the testimony of Jesus. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to get tribulation if you'll stand up. All that live godly will suffer persecution. But then he says, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and we all should be every day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, we heard that in verse 5, the voice of a trumpet. And here again he says, and what is it saying to him? Verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. We know who that is. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. He said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, this is the Lord, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girded about the chest with a golden girdle or golden belt. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, set now for justice. His feet like unto fine brass as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Now, we know those seven stars are the preachers, that he holds the true preachers, the inspired, spirit-filled preachers of God. He holds them in his hand. And he says, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, the word of God. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. That's Jesus, resurrected. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. Oh, how John's heart must have been moved when he saw his glorified Lord, the Savior that he loved, that he had given his life to serve and preach and build the churches. So first, we see the context of worship in heaven. Now let's move to number two, Roman numeral number two, the center of worship in heaven. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 4, and let me read to you verses 2 and 3. Listen to these, and then we'll pick out a couple of words out of them and emphasize. He said, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper, like a jasper, and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. Now, the key words in these two verses is the word throne. It's one of the key words through the book of Revelation, being used 46 times. In verse 2, he said, I saw a throne and it was set. Now, the throne speaks of sovereignty, of lordship, kingship. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It speaks of authority. All authority is his. All power is his, both in heaven and in earth. It speaks of rule and control. And there's the throne and it is established. It is set. Now, listen, friends. While things may seem out of control here on this earth and the chaos as we move toward the rapture, the falling away, the perilous times that are around us, he's still in control. He's sitting on that throne right now, this morning, in charge, working his plan, reaching out to the lost, moving forward to that time when he returns. So let's kind of look this apart. Let's look at it now. Number one, Jesus is on his throne. As I said before, Matthew 28:18, all power is mine, both in heaven and in earth. See, the Lord is on his throne working out all things in his time. He has his own time schedule, when he's going to come, what he's going to do, the restoring of the nation of Israel, so forth. He's working his plan for his purpose, and to his glory. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord. Right? We're in the middle of God's plan if we're born again and saved. Now, the Bible said, no man can see God and live, Exodus 33:20, until we are transformed. God is so holy and so pure that if we looked upon him, I mean, even now, if you just gaze into the sun and just keep your eyes on it, it can burn your retinas out. Just the sun, the brilliance of God. Therefore, John looks into heaven and sees through the glass dimly. Only the appearance of God and the Holy Spirit help him in this description. There is one seated on the throne, and the throne is set in heaven. And then he said, like a jasper. Now, jasper is clear as crystal, like a diamond, brilliant, beautiful, radiating the light. And a sardine stone. Sardine is blood red, ruby red. It speaks of the shed blood of Jesus, the redemptive, the crystal clear, pure white of his holiness, and then his redemption. We see his brilliance, his beauty, his wealth, the light. And then around the throne is an emerald rainbow. Verse 3 again. And here's a complete circle. It says round about it. We see today only half of a rainbow, don't we? We'll see it looks like an arc, like a half of a circle. We only see half the picture. But in heaven, we're going to see an emerald rainbow. The whole rainbow goes all the way around the throne of God. And it's a promise of ended judgment. The rainbow we see today, there's not going to be any more flood. The one in heaven, when we look upon it, will mean all sin has been judged. Everything has been made right. God, who gave all the promises, is faithful and true and merciful and graceful to us, the church. So the first thing we look at, we see God settled on his throne with all authority, power, and might. Then we look a little further. Number two, under Roman numeral number two, the saints round about the throne, the great majestic throne of God. And then look at verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 elders. And you see the word, if you have a King James Bible, it'll say seats. But if you chairs, but if you have probably one of the earlier translations, like the New King James Version, it'll say thrones. And the word is thrones, little small thrones. There are 24 thrones. And upon the thrones sat 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, this is a representation of the church, the bride of Christ, the blood-bought bride seated on the throne, the queen of Jesus Christ, amen, of the King of Kings. Now, they're in white raiment. Revelation 19 says the raiment is the righteousness of the saints. You'll have on a brilliant, shining white robe that speaks of the righteousness of God that has covered our sinfulness in his grace. And then they have on their heads crowns of gold. Now, this is interesting. It's not the word diadem. Jesus is the only one that wears the crown of the diadem. He's the potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But this is the Greek word stephanos. That's why the New Testament's in Greek. The language is so specific in its words. This is the crown, it's called the overcomer's crown, the victor's crown that was given at the Bema judgment, the soul winner's crown. And there the church sits. There you and I will sit with our robes on and our crowns of reward. So we see God on his throne. We see the saints around the throne. And then third, we see the sights and the hear the sounds that are around the throne. Let's read verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And man, you just think how awe-inspiring this is. The lightning and the thunders warn of the storms that are to come. And, you know, we can look out the windows of our home and you can see coming across the valley when the storms are coming in, the lightning coming out of it, and you know the rain storms are coming and the wind. And here out of the throne of God are the thunders and the lightnings, and talking about the divine anger and the judgment that is coming, friend. The reason God's going to take us out of this world is so we don't go through the tribulation period. The reason the rapture is to pull his children out, because the Bible says we're not appointed to wrath to come. And then before the throne, the Holy Spirit, the picture of the Holy Spirit, where he says there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits, big S of God. Now, they're not seven spirits. There's one spirit, the Holy Spirit, but he's talking about the sevenfold characteristics, and the word seven is completion and perfection, and the perfect character of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And the lampstand represents him casting light on God the Son. He's reflecting glory upon Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. And then before it, we see the sea of glass. He says, and before the throne, verse 6, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Vast, like a pavement, but it's clear glass. Interesting, isn't it? In the temple, there was a laver that, like a double bird bath, and it had water in it for the priests when they would slay the lambs and the blood. And before they went to the Holy Holies, they went to the laver. They washed their hands and they washed their feet before they went into the presence of Almighty God. And it's a picture of the washing of the water of the Word, the cleansing of God. We've already been washed in the blood. We're already saved. But in trafficking in this world, we still pick up sins. We pick up clutter, and we're washed and we're cleansed. And so this is the picture of what it is. Now, it's solid glass. It's pure. It's clear. Because, see, our purity now is like Jesus. It's fixed. It's firm forever. Won't need to wash again. I mean, it's all settled. It's all handled. It's taken care of. And then he talks about these four creatures, the Zoa. Boy, they are so interesting. In verse 6, the middle of verse 6, he says, in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, the words creatures, Zoas is the Greek word, full of eyes before and behind, a presence of constantly alert, constantly watching, sensitive to God's will and God's purpose. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. Third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four creatures, each of them, had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day nor night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, these are the same creatures that Isaiah the prophet was given a glimpse of in the year that Uzziah died in chapter 6. And he read about them. Let me just read it to you, Isaiah 6, 3, verse 2 and 3. He said, above this throne, let me just read it to you. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, the Zoas. The burners is what the Hebrew word means. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. Their humility before Almighty God. In his holiness is righteous. With two they covered their feet. They had no standing outside the holiness of God. And with two did fly. The instant obedience to God to do his will. And one cried unto another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And another amazing thing, they represent before God the complete created host around the throne to remind God, not that God needs reminding, maybe to remind us when we're there and looking at it of God's great creation. One has a face like a man, the scripture says. One has a face like a lion. One has a face like an eagle, and the other like an ox or a calf. interesting, isn't it? And this is what John sees in all this activity going around the throne, holiness and praise and glory to God. And now watch the praise chorus from all of us. In verse 9 through 11, we see this wonderful, wonderful truth. And let me read it to you. We'll begin to look into it a little bit. Now listen to verse 9. And when those beasts, or those creatures, Zoas, gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. So the creatures are giving glory to God and honor to God and thanks to God. They're praising him, worshiping the Lord. What happens? Spontaneously, look, and the 24 elders, which represents all of us, the redeemed, the believers, fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and the Greek word is adousin, which means they sung. We're singing praise to the Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What a wonderful, wonderful truth, the praise chorus in heaven as we magnify and praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have to stop. I'll finish this next. I thought we might finish today, but you know me. We'll finish next week as we conclude this wonderful study that we've been in for 16 weeks. Now we're going to have 17 weeks of weekly study. We've enjoyed the wonderful Word of God. And I thank you for being with us. I pray the Lord has blessed you. I pray God has built up your faith by listening to the wonderful, wonderful Word of God. Continue to pray for Sue and I as we travel. If anything I can do for you, we can pray for you. My email address is debowler@aol.com. You send me an email, and I'll put it on my prayer list and pray for you. Pray for the growth of the station. Pray for doubling the power. Pray for Brother Tommy and the staff that God will bless and encourage and use them. Pray for revival in our country, in Chattanooga, in Ringgold, in Red Bank, all the surrounding area, that God will touch hearts. And until next week now, this is David Bowler, and it's my prayer the Lord will richly, richly bless you.